Listen to the voices of our world.
If people are complicit with war by paying for war, we're going to keep getting war.
I have no idea what it must be like to lose a child.
I just do whatever I can to bring attention to the war.
People are angry. They know there's not enough money to keep funding a war, tax cuts to the rich, and not rebuild our country, and they want to rebuild our country.
The risk of paying for war is much, much greater than the risk of not paying for war.
Now is the time to say it. This administration is wrong.
It's time for the old cliche of when the people lead, the leaders will follow. Time for us to lead.
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Recently, former Secretary of State Colin Powell said of his February 2003 statement before the United Nations supporting the then impending invasion of Iraq, "I'm the one who presented it to the world, and it will always be a part of my record. It was painful. It is painful now." And that statement remains the closest any member of the Bush administration has ever come to admitting any faults in the prosecution of the war with Iraq. But as civil violence in Iraq remains unabated and the body count on all sides climbs, the cry, "Bring them home now," grows louder. Corporate-controlled news, Viacom, CBS, GE's NBC and MSNBC, Rupert Murdoch's Fox, and Disney's ABC, and so on, did next to no reporting on the three-day peace rally in Washington, D.C. from September 24th through the 26th. But we'll fix that today and take you to the streets of D.C. and to the people who filled them. You'll hear from the marchers, from legendary folk artist and activist Joan Baez, from Cindy Sheehan, the Gold Star mom who helped bring back the voice of opposition to our government's course, and Medea Benjamin of Global Exchange and Code Pink.
May your attention, please.
In the heart of New York City, on Saturday morning, September 24th, Penn Station's waiting room looked and sounded nothing like it would on any other Saturday. The area was jammed with a few extra hundred travelers who had already come some distance, all set to get to the nation's capital city to join the largest anti-Iraq war demonstration yet. But the wide array of amusing slogans splashed across T-shirts and placards couldn't distract from the bad news posted on the departure billboard. All trains to Washington, D.C., plus a handful of other trains traveling the same tracks, had been delayed indefinitely. There were no storms in the Northeast, no power brownouts, and power in Penn Station itself was fine. Just about the only group affected by the unspecified electrical problem were the folks who wanted to join the Washington demonstration. So possibly, as had been hoped, some groups gave up and took to the New York streets. But Kathy Golden, there to cover the peace rally for this program and many other stalwarts, stuck. Kathy wasted no time pulling microphone from backpack and got a comment from a fellow waitee.
Can you give me your name?
Okay, my name is Bennett Silverstein.
And Bennett, you're here for what purpose?
I'm here to go to Washington not only to protest the war in Iraq, but also to protest the incompetence of President Bush in handling the hurricane situation in New Orleans.
Did the hurricane or any act of God have anything to do with our trains being delayed, do you think?
I have my own opinion what might have caused this train to delay, but I don't want to make reckless accusations, but I'm not happy about the delays because everybody wants to be in Washington right now, not stuck in Penn Station.
Well, Ben, I hope to see you later today down there, okay?
Okay, thank you. I intend to be there. As soon as the train leaves, I will be down there, and I will be marching against social policies I think are wrong for our country.
Can you tell me briefly why you're opposed to this particular war, to the Iraq war?
I'm opposed to the war in Iraq because it was a misguided war. We were attacked by Osama bin Laden, and we have done nothing to try to find this man who did this horrible thing to us. And what George W. Bush did reminds me of the old joke about a man who drops a dime on a dark street corner, and he's looking for it on the other side of the street where there's a lamppost. And when somebody asks him, "Why aren't you searching where you dropped the dime?" he says, "There's more light up here." That's why I think George W. Bush chose to go into Iraq. It was an unnecessary war. And even if he thought for 1 minute that it was a good idea to get rid of Saddam Hussein, which I'm sure it was, there was absolutely no reason for us to still be there and to continue to sacrifice our boys.
Thank you, sir.
Eventually, the 8 a.m. Amtrak Acela train left Penn Station just after noon, and so by late in the day, Kathy was able to talk with marchers as they continued towards the Washington Monument.
Excuse me, you must have that shirt made fairly recently because we haven't had 1900 gone that long.
I bought it this morning and now there's 1910. I'm from San Diego. We marched against the war there in February 2003, and I'm just privileged to be here marching in Washington.
Hey, can I ask you, you even brought your dog out today.
Sure.
Your dog is for peace, I take it.
Her name is Peace.
Her name is Peace?
Yeah, Pash.
Tell me about her.
Well, she was really quiet when she was a puppy, so we called her Peace, Pash in Portuguese.
Excellent. And why are you here?
I'm here to take my daughter and show her what it means to protest and, you know, for a cause, get Bush out of office, bring our boys home.
Are you old enough to care about that?
Yes.
Did Mommy make it come or did you want to come?
I wanted to come.
Excellent. Good luck to you and your dog.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Continuing down Constitution Avenue, marchers stopped in their tracks to listen to rhythms coming from a drum setup comprised of upside-down plastic trash cans with a metal shopping cart serving as cymbal and hi-hat. The street artist was Fred Washington. Then in the shadow of the Washington Monument, with the sounds of a rock band coming from the distant stage, Kathy came across a meadow of organized white plywood crosses, a miniature Arlington. Weeks prior, as President Bush took a five-week vacation at his ranch in Crawford, Texas, a grieving mother from Vacaville, California, whose son Casey had been killed in Iraq, waited outside the president's property, petitioning him for the chance to ask him, "Mr. President, for what noble cause did my son die?" Now, although everyone knew Cindy Sheehan would never be granted a second opportunity to talk with the president, a movement grew around comforting this mourning parent. As the crowd in Crawford grew, so did the standing crosses placed by other grieving parents and loved ones of our service people dying in Iraq. The Sea of Crosses came to be known as Camp Casey, for Casey Sheehan, Cindy's son.
Okay, so now I'm close to the Washington Monument, and I am looking out at a sea of white crosses. I can't tell you how many there are here. I don't know if they actually counted them the night before. I don't know if there's actually 1,913, but I believe that's how many U.S. soldiers are dead as of this morning. Here we are. It's just a sea of white crosses representing the men and women that have died for this war. And surrounding me are hundreds of thousands of people who apparently think they didn't die for appropriate reasons. Can you tell me what we're standing amidst here and what it stands for?
That is the Washington Monument. No doubt I'm remembering the man considered to be the founding father of the United States and the first president, general of the Continental Army.
This sea of crosses that we're standing amidst, what's this about?
I'd say it's a memorial to all the troops killed in Iraq.
Do you know whether or not there's actually 1,913 here?
I think that's an accurate figure, yes. We used to have the boots come into Kansas City, where we're from, and representing each casualty. And the unfortunate thing about it is that 9 out of 10 casualties are civilians in this war, and half of them are children. And so with that, the proportionality of this war is very devastating. And so, you begin to raise, the question, when is too much suffering? When do we begin to gather awareness that there's just no real purpose in war? There's no good results or outcome.
Did you guys come here today all the way from Kansas City?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
But our good times are all gone, and I'm bound for moving on. I'll look for you if I'm ever back this way.
At the press tent near the main stage, Kathy got to speak with lifelong singer and activist Joan Baez.
Ms. Baez, could you just give us a comment about why you're here today?
Let me think. I'm here today because, along with hundreds of thousands of other people, I feel this sigh of relief that, yes, you who everybody, our instincts are correct, and it's now is the time to say it. This administration is wrong, it's sick. The war in Iraq is, of course, wrong. As a pacifist, I think they're all wrong. But there's movement now. There's a movement, but maybe it's more important there is movement.
Does this make you feel great today to see all these people?
Oh, wonderful. I mean, I just pulled out of the parade and sat on the wall somewhere to watch. I was astounded by how many people were here. Thank you.
But by then it would be winter. Not much for you to do.
Then Kathy met with a very tired but resolved Cindy Sheehan.
Everybody we talked to, we said, who's coming to the rally? And everybody was coming to the rally from Texas to New York and back down here. I knew it was going to happen.
Cindy, how are you doing? You must be exhausted.
I'm doing great. I just do whatever I can to bring attention to the war. I just work hard. It's more than a full-time job, but it's worth it.
How are you greeted by the fellow Gold Star mothers, other women who've been through what you've been through?
Well, people who are in my organization, Gold Star Families for Peace, fine. Some of the other Gold Star moms don't think I should be doing what I'm doing. But, that's their right to think that way, and it's my right to think my way.
Casey would be okay with this.
I'm positive. Casey's very proud of me.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here.
So let's ask ourselves the very question that Cindy Sheehan wanted to ask President Bush. What noble cause did Casey Sheehan and 1,936 of his fellow men and women in service die for? Email us. Go to www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us or call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. You're listening to Voices of Our World.